welcome to Reading Your Way to Heaven. And I am Gabe. I'm here with Jason. Jason, how's it going, man?
Hey, y'all. I'm doing good. Doing really well. Enjoying a little bit of paternity leave with the new baby. So it's been really nice. But I tell you what, this stay-at-home parent thing, it's no joke. It's work.
It's the real deal, man. It's tough.
I've only been at this for a few days, and I'm just looking at my wife going, I'm not worthy. I'm so not worthy.
Well, you know what it is? It's constant.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no, let me step outside for a second. Let me just turn off my computer. There's no, hold my calls. I'm not here. No. Because when that baby cries, or when that 2-year-old says, you know, whatever they need, you know, like it's incessant, and you've got to deal with it right then and there.
There's
you know?
Certain quotas that I've realized that every person has, and once you reach that limit, you're done. You're just like, nope, not doing that anymore.
Yeah,
because my
my
5-year-old's been. We're really trying to work hard because she's very mature in a lot of ways, but she still has the very whininess in her. And so, you know, early on in the day, you're a lot more loving and try to distract or be playful with her or just, you know, be patient with that. But when it comes to about 7:30 at night, and you've been doing it for 12, 13 hours, you're just like, no more whining. If I hear you whine one more time.
That's when the rubber meets the road, I'm telling you. For my 5-year-old, the whining isn't there, but when he doesn't get his way or when something doesn't work out for him, it's a form of whining. It's like he starts to cry and out of just frustration or anger or disappointment. And I'm like, no, dude, are you hurt? Is someone dying? You know, like there's certain things for sure, fine to cry, but the fact that you didn't win this game. Okay, you're frustrated. I get it. But we need to be able to work things out in a better way than crying, you know, like, let's go, you know. But, you know, that's part of it, man. It's like helping kids be able to find healthy ways to deal with life and deal with not getting their way and struggles. And, you know, I mean, the whining doesn't stop. You know, at 5, you and I both know adults that whine. I'm sure I have been an adult that has whined, you know, but it's now that we're trying to learn good habits. And if we can help kids have that foundation now, oh my gosh, I mean, how much better off are they going to be down the line? They may not realize that right now, but it's a worth it fight, but it's a fight, man.
And honestly, it's in trying to draw this back into the chapter for today is, as you said earlier, it's purifying. It's purification of our own selfishness, our own things in life, and especially when temptation lies when you're tired and you spend all day with them and they're just continuing to push that button and you could fall into mortal sin.
Yeah, no, I think a big part of it is just figuring out your own triggers and figuring out like, you know, we talked about this about like when do I fall into sin? Like when are these near occasions and identifying certain things and saying, OK, I know that, you know, this routine or whatever we're doing right now does not work. You know, let's switch some things around or let me put some reminders for myself somewhere just to. So I can snap back to reality whenever I feel like I'm going down that road. But yeah, Introduction to the Devout Life, man. Chapter 6, the first purification from mortal sin. That's the first purification. And man, this is not a big chapter, but it's a big chapter, Jason.
Well, I think it boils down to one absolute thing. Now he's starting to give us some very specific things that we must do to begin this journey, which is, and I said it in last week's episode, is breaking the person down. We got to break us down to nothing, to start from square one to build us back up. And the best way to do that is to enter in confession, but not just any type of confession, not just a regular humdrum normal confession, but a general confession. So first, Gabe, what is, for our audience that may not know, what is a general confession? What's the difference? And when's the well, maybe you don't want to share that, but maybe you do. Do you mind sharing? Because I don't mind sharing. When was, maybe if you want to share, when's the last time you went to a general confession?
So, general confession, that would be one that is general is higher than lieutenant, right? So they've been in the
Yes.
military for a while.
Like sergeant.
Sergeant confession.
Yeah.
Then general confession is up there. No, so yeah, what Saint Francis de Sales says here, that what he's imploring you to do is from the is to examine your conscience, and first of all, you find a good resource. Find a very like a good, thorough examination of conscience. We talked about that a few podcasts ago when we were talking about, I think, the Beatitudes. We were talking about an examination of conscience. Like you want to find a good, solid one, one that is asks a lot of questions and is very thorough and really spend your time with it. And then what he says is to go from the first use of your reason, so from your very first ability to remember, from there to your present time, try your hardest to recall everything that you have done. And if you mistrust your memory, write down the result of your examination. And I think it's a huge piece of advice there, a huge hack, if you will, a confession hack is write down these sins. I always encourage people to do that. There are times I do and times I don't. And I know that he says right here that like sometimes your memory fails you, and it's true. Like that's just the reality of it. Like you want to just write it down, and it's not like you're writing down, I would say the story or the details behind everything. It's just the reality of I did this, I did that, so that you can just be able to dump everything out. Now, the last time I did a general confession, I don't know. It's been a while, Jason. I know last year there was I was leading this retreat, and heading up in towards the retreat, I really was just being, I was going to say led by the Holy Spirit, but that sounds too gentle for what it was. I mean, it was definitely like prodding, but not in a good cattle, like in a good, gentle way. It was like a cattle prod. Like the Holy Spirit was just kicking my butt to go to confession, to confess in particular some older sins that I had kind of previously confessed, but I had not just flat out come out and said and owned it and said, this is what I did, and this is what happened. The Holy Spirit just grabbed a hold of me and was like, you've got to do this. It's got to happen. And so, no, I did. I went to confession, and it was probably about a year ago, and confessed sins that I've already mentioned and confessed, but I confessed it in a way that was so much more thorough and detailed than I ever had before. And I can't tell you how liberating and freeing that was, because before these things would still come back and haunt me, and once I'd done that, I felt like I had broken free from those chains. To where anytime Satan tried to bring back those thoughts of guilt or shame or anything like that, I could say definitively, no, I'm done with that. Like I'm just done. Like you can't hold that over me at all anymore. And man, it's so freeing. I can't fully describe it. It's just like this being alive, for the first time,
So to circle the wagons back, and when you were talking about writing things down, I think it's almost a necessity to do that for a general confession, especially depending on how old you are. So if you're thinking, okay, the time of reason is probably 6, 7 years old from the first time I went to confession to now, which would be 27 years worth of sinning that I've done in my life. That's a lot. And that's a lot of things. I'm going year by year, 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As much as I can recall, and writing those things down, it does so many things well. Not just, like you said, just opening up old wounds, but more importantly, letting the physician, who is Jesus Christ, to come in and heal some of those wounds, even the ones that we know we may have been forgiven, but we haven't fully embraced that forgiveness. And that's kind of what Francis Sales is saying when he says, general confession forces us to clear self-knowledge. So we see this arc in our life, and we see this story, but not a story of, oh, woe is me. Yes, it kindles wholesome shame, like, why do I keep doing this? But also, as he says here, rouses gratitude for God's mercy, which has so long waited patiently for us. And I love that because, again, going to general confession, it allows us to see how much God loves and is so patient with us, even when we realize, man, I've been committing this one particular sin for years and maybe even decades, but God still has forgiven me. He still loves me. He's still so patient with me.
And absolutely, to do a general confession, you have to write it down. I can't think of a way that of a reality where it doesn't make sense to write it down. I mean, even if I had a photographic memory, I would still just want to hedge my bets and write everything down, just to have that definitive sureness, the confidence that I've let everything go. Also, too, and he says this here: seek the best confessor within your reach. Like, don't just go to a random confession somewhere. Like, hopefully already you're going to confession and on a semi-regular basis, whether it be monthly or every 6 weeks or every 2 weeks or whatever the routine is for you. Hopefully there's a regular routine of confession. And if you do have one, then you've probably gone to a few different confessors. You've probably gone to a few different parishes or had different experiences or encounters and have realized, okay, yeah, that one it wasn't as fruitful or life-giving as it was over here, so seek the best confessor within your reach for sure. But I think the other thing that I would do here is just like when St. Francis de Sales is telling us to find a guide, and the way to do that is just to ask God to reveal one to us, like, Lord, please help me to find a good spiritual director. I think we can do the same when it comes to finding a good confessor. Lord, please help me to find the best confessor I can. And chances are, like I said, it's probably someone you've already gone to confession with if you're going to confession regularly, and you're asking for the Holy Spirit to, recall those experiences so that you can identify one. But then once you have, I would not just go up some random Saturday and do your general confession. I think the best case here may be to set up an appointment with this priest and talk to him and let him know, hey, this is what I'm doing. I've been reading Introduction to the Devout Life, and I really feel called to respond to what St. Francis de Sales is encouraging here, and that's to make a general confession. And so I would like to make a general confession with you and to go that way so that the priest understands what's going on, and that way that priest can play his role, whatever the God is asking him to do, that way he can do it to the fullest of his ability. Does it make sense what I'm saying? Okay, great. Yeah, no, I
No, I mean, you're right. Like, that's exactly what I was going to say. Just summarize real quickly. I wouldn't suggest that. I would demand it from any person that's
Yeah.
listening. I wouldn't say, oh, maybe no, you need to, for the sake of the priest that's listening to that, because the priest is going to be really mad if he, if any priest, he's going to be like, what is going on? He was not prepared for that. Also, being considerate for all the other people that are trying to go to confession. If there's one priest at your parish and there's a line, the last thing they need to do is wait for you for a half an hour or an hour, however long it takes you to do your general confession. That's not considerate to
Well,
other people.
and you want the priest to understand that, like, you understand you've gone to confession multiple times, and in like the way confession works is you know, you are forgiven for your sins. Like, that's it, the end. And as long as you go with a good examination and confess your sins as well as you can know them, and sometimes, you know, in your examination, for whatever reason, if something just honestly, truthfully didn't come to mind, and I'm not like playing games there, like obviously you know the truth, you know, and what's real and not real. But if there's something, sometimes it'll happen where you go to confession and go, oh no, I forgot to say that. Well, like that in a genuine moment, that is covered too. So it's not that you're questioning the mercy of God. What you're doing here is getting to the root of the pattern of sin in your life. And you're exposing it. You're cutting down to the core so that the divine doctor can best address you. And one of the fruits here, like you were mentioning a few of them already, but it's so that it affords the opportunity to our spiritual father for giving the most suitable advice. That way he can understand and see this pattern and say, you know what, you know, Gabe, I noticed that over the years this has happened quite a bit. Why do you think that is? Let's talk a little bit more about that. Or tell me more about when you did this and this and, you know, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, definitely. Make an appointment. Talk to the priest. Let him know what's up. Tell him what you're doing so that he can, you know, be for you who he needs to be.
And going back to what you were saying about having a spiritual director and a confessor, ideally it should be both. It should be a priest, honestly. And that's kind of what Francis
says. I mean, if it could be the same person, that'd be...
Yeah, and that's what... I don't know St. Francis of Sales, but that's what I would think he would... That's what I would assume he would say and really point towards. So, you know, to have... a good friend, but what we're talking about here is someone that you're already being directed, and that would be a priest, and you're already in those meetings and those conversations. So that way, when you get to your confession and you're talking about and you're confessing specific sins, this priest already knows who you are. So they could go even deeper on those particulars.
I like when he's talking about doing your examination, that as you're seeking out the evil spots in your conscience, like he says, strive to detest them. Like with all your might, strive to just hate these sins, to reject them. And with the greatest abhorrence and contrition of which your heart is capable, that by sin you have lost God's grace. Remember these four things: that by sin you've lost God's grace, that you've rejected your share in paradise, that you've accepted the pains of hell and renounced God's eternal love. Like, hold those as close to your mind as you possibly can. And I think that's going to give you the strength to detest your sins all the more, to realize that these things mean that I've lost God's grace. These things that I've chosen to do mean that I have rejected my share in paradise, that I have accepted the pains of hell and renounced God's eternal love. Like, oh, Lord, help me to hate my sins and really just with all every being that you can muster, hate them, you know, abhor them, reject them.
Well, and that goes into the gift of the Holy Spirit, fear of the Lord, where fear of the Lord is not being afraid of God's wrath, but being afraid of losing my intimate unity with God, and that I know mortal sin completely severs that relationship and that cord between me and him. And it's not God who did that. It's me. I freely chose of that. I knew fully well the consequences in my actions, and I did it anyways. And it was a grave matter. And there's no one else to blame but myself. And that's what I think, that's what we're getting at here.
Well, there's a reason why fear of the Lord is the root of wisdom, right? Is that right? What it is? The fear of the Lord is the root of wisdom. I think I'm misquoting that, but it's something to that effect. Wisdom comes from this fear of the Lord. And I've always, what's helped me to understand fear of the Lord, it's this having everything properly aligned, like knowing who I am and who God is, and having that properly aligned. Like, I Lord, help me to know who you are as fully as I can, and help me to see who I am in light of that, right? That and with this proper alignment and respect and authority, respect for the authority that God has, like, I don't want to step outside of that, because I love him, and I don't want to be away from that love, but also because I know that away from this is the fires of hell, and I don't want that also. So it's this, I think, healthy respect and realization and correct alignment between us and God.
And I'll just finish with what I started with, which is the very last line that Francis de Sales is telling us here, which is basically, you can't begin this journey of a devout life without beginning with a general confession. And, you know, if you're listening to this and you've never done it, I highly, highly encourage you to do it. And it can change your life. And if you've done it recently, praise God. I wouldn't necessarily say that you need to. I mean, obviously, you know the state of your soul better than I do. I don't know. But if you've never done it, or it's been a really long time and you're going on this journey, reading, praying, and trying to live out what Francis de Sales is talking about here, like we said, get a spiritual director, get a confessor, find someone that can, a priest that can hear your general confession.
So, Jason, when is the last time you made a general confession?
Actually, just this past year, I decided. So I've done four in my entire life.
How did you first hear about this? What exposed you to this idea of a general confession, and then ultimately what pushed you to do it recently?
So it took a while. It wasn't until I was in my early 20s until I really heard and understood what this was. The very first time I did my general confession was actually the day before I got married. I heard about it, and I had one of the visiting priests hear my general confession actually right after our wedding rehearsal dinner. And I bawled my eyes out like a baby for like an hour. And it was just the most beautiful thing to stand before God and my bride, and to know going to embrace her as a completely sinless person as I possibly could be. There was no better feeling than that. The three other times have been kind of sporadic here and there, but recently this past year was one of the things, and this was actually when I was reading The Devout Life, because I read this last year. And so when I got to this early part, I was like, oh, I probably should go to general confession. So I went to my spiritual director, asked him, talked to him about it. He said, absolutely, let's do it. Sat down, had a wonderful general confession. And I realized now that I really want to do this once a year. So how, you know, the norm or the lowest mandatory thing is to go to confession at least once a year, preferably sometime during Lent. Well, hopefully we're going to confession a lot more than just once a year and beyond just during the season of Lent, although that's beautiful, and please God, you know, if that's all you can do, that's all you can do. But if you can go more often, please do. I can. I'm very, very privileged in that way. I can. I do. I take advantage of that. But I want to really renew that sense. And so I've decided now once a year to do that general confession.
So when you do a general confession, now that you've done it multiple times, are you continuously going back to the very beginning, the age of reason, or are you going from your most recent general confession?
No, every time I start when the very first known sin, mortal sin that I committed, which of course was very, looking back now, it's just like, you know, I didn't honor my mother and father. But yeah, every time, start at the age of reason and I go through it. Now that means a lot of times the examination of conscience goes much quicker. because some of those, especially that I've done it more recently, more often recently, it's a little bit quicker in that sense. But I've also taken my time because there's always, unfortunately, a new building block of sin, if I can say that. And sometimes that's an insight into past things that I didn't even recognize in myself, not merely a year, two, three, four, 5 years ago.
Is there a particular examination that you like to use that you recommend?
That's a good question. I have used several different kinds of confession examinations, and really all I've done is I've used the one that was put out by the I'll have to put it in the show notes, but I think it was by CTS, and don't ask me what that means. I can't remember the acronym for or the letters. I think it's like Catechetical something society, something other. Anyways, it's very, very thorough. And it uses the Ten Commandments for the examination as the boundaries, parameters, all that good stuff.
So, yeah, no, this is, I think, just really good to hear, because I, you know, I know I've, like I mentioned before, I've confessed things that I've already previously confessed, but kind of redone it in a greater way and more detail. But to actually stop and do exactly what St. Francis Sales has recommended here, I don't know that I've actually ever done that. I can't think of a time where I have, done it in this way. So yeah, no, this is good info, and it makes a lot of sense. What I was imagining as I was reading this is like this is like hitting a giant reset button, you know, like when your computer is acting up and you have to restart it, you know, it kind of clears out everything. It's starting you again. Let's just take a chance to take everything that's been happening and just get rid of it, you know, and you know, get rid of this old self so that this new self can really have space to roam about, so that the devout life can have an opportunity to develop. And and just furthermore, you know, I'm saying this even as someone who does go to confession regularly. You know, I try to go 2 weeks at the minimum. Sometimes I go a little bit more, and every once in a while I go a little bit less, but 2 weeks is kind of the regular for me. But I can see the great fruit that could come from a general confession. And St. Francis de Sales here says that about, you know, the ordinary confession, which is what, you know, I think most everybody does. It's what I do. That not infrequently, the ordinary confessions of persons leading an everyday life are full of great faults, and that because they make little or no preparation. And I just think about, I stop right there. Like, it's true. Like, when you run up to confession, you spend, you know, a few minutes going through an examination, or like I've got, you know, you've got the app on your phone, and it's a fairly thorough examination, but it's not as thorough as others I've seen out there. And you know, you check mark all the stuff you've done, and so it's written down or logged that way. But you know, like, how much time are we really even spending on it? You know, like, are we giving it the proper amount of time to reflect and truly call to mind all the stuff that we've done since our last confession, or that God is putting on our hearts, that the Holy Spirit, we're asking Him to reveal to us our sins? Are we letting the Holy Spirit actually have a chance to do that, to actually reveal to us His sins, or are we rushing through it? So there's that. And then he says that the little or no preparation, but also that a lot of people don't have the necessary contrition, that disposition of truly hating your sins, of truly affirming to not sin anymore, like really meaning that. And if you really do mean that, that means that you are going to try your hardest to avoid every situation that may lead you into sin. And so I know a lot of times when we can go to confession, when I go to confession, I'll confess something. But I mean, if we really are fully, perfectly contrite, I mean, it means that our lives are going to look radically different. And I think all too often, the one of the reasons why we keep struggling with the same thing over and over is because we make the confession, and then we just go back to like the status quo of the rhythms of our life. But it's the very rhythms of our life, it's this very status quo that has created an environment for us to fall into these sins, you know, over and over and over again. Like, at a certain point, like, you've got to recognize that, like, I'm the problem and I've got to make drastic changes. And I think this general confession, this opportunity to stop and reflect on everything that you've ever done, year after year after year, it's a wake-up call. You know, I see that, wait a second, what am I doing? Oh, Lord, I am so sorry. And it means you got to change. And that's not a comfortable thought. Because, like, we like the things that we like. And this is where we, like, earlier on, we were talking about this, though. Like, what do you love more? You know, do you love God more than these routines? Okay, then it means letting go. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I'm going to take up this challenge. I've got to find a good confessor. I'll keep you posted on the status of it. But good, solid stuff. Like, tiny, tiny little chapter. But once again, filled with meat.
So I found the CTS stands for Catholic Truth Society. It was a different examination of conscience. I mean, I'll still post a link to it. There's a PDF of it, but I actually saved a Word document that I've used for examination for general confession, because what it does is I go through the Ten Commandments, but then I also go through the precepts of the Catholic Church, the seven precepts. So it does an examination based on the Ten Commandments and the precepts, and basically is a good rundown of my whole life. I would agree with everything that you said. It's a call to action, and it's the first step, but it's one of necessity if you want to continue on in the devout life.
It's hard to fly like the eagle, Jason, when you've got an anchor tied around your neck. You know, we've got to let go.
Amen.
And it's the first necessary step. It's purification. Let's break the chain. Let's get rid of these mortal sins. It's a lot, man. I think St. Francis of Sales, I can't wait to see what else he has in store. You know, I just see how everything is building upon the previous, and we're marching forward, and it's exciting. And I hope you're excited. I hope all of you who are listening are excited. Please keep reading with us. Keep praying with us, praying for us. Oh my gosh, please pray for us. And we're going to pray for you. Please do us a favor, you know, give us a 5-star rating, leave us a comment, share us with your friends on Facebook or Twitter or the Gram, as the kids are calling it these days. And you're always free also to hang out with us over on our website, readingyourwaytoheaven.fireside.fm. And I think that's going to do it for us. Jason, love you, bye.
Love you, bye, Gabe.